Thank you, Kent. Welcome to those of you joining us on live stream. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 tonight. This is our communion service. We're taking the Lord's Supper at the close of the service, but my message tonight will be from 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 6 through 8. I think familiar verses to you, but I think you'll see appropriate for what we're doing tonight as we come to the Lord's table. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 6, these three verses say, "Your glorying is not good," Paul speaking to the Corinthian church. "Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." The title, I think, for this message is Christ our Passover. And I want to relate on how that relates to what we're going to do tonight as we think about this. Now, the Lord's Supper is not a Christian Passover. We don't keep the Passover any longer. Christ is our Passover, nor is this the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But I think we will see that what we do at the Lord's Supper is based on a lot of this kind of biblical language, and our Lord's Supper then gives us a picture of these historical things like the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, whether there's leaven or not in the lump. Now, of course, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, they had sin in the church, and you remember that, and they had to deal with that sin. And as he says in verse 6, they gloried in the fact that they didn't deal with it. And he said, that's not good, because sin grows, leaven grows. And so you need to deal with that first, and you need to deal with it for these reasons. So as we think about this, let me remind you of old Israel in the Old Testament, beginning there in Egypt as they took their first Passover and all of those things that happened. Interestingly, leaven is only mentioned 5 times in the Old Testament. You'd think it'd be a lot more than that, but it's mentioned when it speaks of the sacrifices. So in those books of Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, you have this. And you remember, or maybe you've heard how they did leaven. They didn't buy little packages at the kosher grocery store, you know, and sprinkle it on their in their bowls. They had to pass it on from one lump to the other. So as they made bread and they mixed their leaven together at the beginning, they had a lump of dough that had leaven in it, and they would pinch off a little bit of it, put it in moisture, and keep it while they baked that loaf, and then they had a little leaven for the next loaf. And as that would be ready to be baked, they'd pinch off a little bit of that and keep it. And so the old leaven came out of the old lump so that the new lump could be leavened, because we all like leavened bread, right? And they did eat leavened bread, except during the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the feast days. So that was kind of how they did it and how they passed it on. And so even in our passage here, when he talks about the old leaven and the new leaven, he's referring back to that old custom. Now, they were told in Leviticus 2:11 not to put leaven, though, in their meal offerings. Now, these offerings, they had, of course, animal sacrifices, but they had offerings that were mixed together where they made a meal, that is, grain, and you would put leaven in it if you were fixing it for some other reason, but not for sacrifices. So in Leviticus 2:11, it says, "No grain offering which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven, for you shall burn no leaven nor any honey in the offering of the Lord made by fire." Interesting, isn't it? And then they could not do that, but then they came to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And let me remind you of what that was. When they were in Egypt, God was going to deliver them out of Egypt. he instituted the Passover. Remember that he instructed them to take a lamb of the first year. And this was to protect them so that the death angel that was going to come and kill the firstborn all across Egypt would not strike their home. So they took that lamb and they killed that lamb. And then they took the blood of that lamb and applied it to the doorpost, as we sang tonight, there to my heart was the blood applied. But they applied it to the doorpost. Then that lamb became their Passover, and they ate that lamb that night. But as they ate that lamb, they had to make sure that there was no leaven in anything that they were eating. So they spent the day or the time before purging out any leaven that was in their home and any leaven that was in their meals. And if they had lumps of bread that where the old leaven had been passed on to the new lump, passed on and on and on, they stopped that and baked bread now with no leaven in it. And so that became, the Passover became the first day of unleavened bread. So for seven more days, they ate unleavened bread. Now when they left Egypt, they left in a hurry, and they were to take this unleavened bread with them and eat that for the next 7 days. And so it was kind of a sign to them that you leave Egypt behind. You leave everything that you used to do in Egypt, you leave it behind, and you come out across the sea to the new life that I'm going to give you, and it's a life of sinlessness. It's a life of unleavened life. So a lot of picture here for that. One interesting thing is that there was one feast where they are instructed to put leaven in it, and that was the Feast of Pentecost. And let me read that to you in Leviticus 23:16. Pentecost means 50, and so from the day of Passover and the day of first fruits, you count 50 days, and that becomes the Feast of Pentecost. So Leviticus has it like this: count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring your dwellings 2 loaves of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits of the Lord. Well, I think the interesting thing about that is that the Feast of Pentecost signified or pictured the church that would one day come about. The church was founded on the day of Pentecost. And many commentators note that the reason why leaven is in the feast at Pentecost is because the church is founded on the day of Pentecost and the church has sin in it. You are saved by the blood of the Lamb, but you still have sin in your life, and yet we should be, as much as we can, keeping the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We should be trying not to have leaven in our life, but the fact is we have it in our life. But the fact that the blood of our Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, was applied to our heart, then our sin is always covered and always forgiven. So a great picture there. Well, I want you to look at these three verses, and let me just give you some thoughts from these verses real quickly tonight before we come to the Lord's table. Back up to verse 6. First of all, we should note sin is destructive. Your glorying is not good. They had sin in the church. It was a wicked sin. It was a sin of fornication and adultery, and they would do nothing about it. It's not so much that the man himself had to be punished, because I believe later in 2 Corinthians that man did repent of his sin and was restored in the church. Great, that's the way it should be. But you can't let sin go on without dealing with it. And why? Because it will spread throughout the church. And so he says in verse 6, do you not know, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Well, every good Jewish believer knew that. As a matter of fact, everyone else really knows that. Leaven spreads throughout, and you put leaven in bread and yeast in bread, and it makes the whole thing rise, and that's good. That's what you do it for that reason. But leaven is often in the New Testament pictured as sin, the way it is in the Old Testament. And so the picture, of course, is sin spreads. And it spreads in the church. It spreads in your life. And if you let it come in like leaven into your life, just a little bit over here or this thing over there, then and you don't deal with it, it will grow. And it will permeate the whole lump, that is, your whole life. And so you have to deal with that at a particular time. When you see it, when you know it, it needs to be dealt with or it will be very destructive. Simple principle. He tells the church to deal with it. They did, by the way. And that man even repented later. But this is also for our benefit, isn't it? Now, if that's true, he says in verse 7, secondly, the point is this. The Christian life is a new life. You are like the new loaf that started without the leaven in it. Like when they left Egypt, they threw out all the leaven and they break bread without any leaven, without any yeast, and ate that flat matzah bread, you know, with nothing in it, because, and they did that for 7 days. So he says to them, therefore, in verse 7, purge out the old leaven. That expression comes right out of Exodus 12:15 that I read to you, where he says, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. Purge it out is the expression. Purge this out of your house. So here's Paul saying not only to the church but to individuals, purge out therefore the old leaven, because it's going to grow. It's going to overtake you, that you may be a new lump. So again, here's this fresh bread now, baked without the leaven, without the yeast in it. And that's what Paul wants you to be. That's what God wants you to be, that you may be the new lump, the starter lump, the one without the leaven in it. Now notice, since, that's a key word here. That's kind of like saying, because it's true, because this is a fact, since you truly are unleavened. Again, back to that Feast of Pentecost. You have sin in your life, but the blood of Jesus Christ has covered it. You're a human being. You still have, as I was preaching this morning, that old nature and the new nature, and that old nature keeps tugging at you and wanting to have control in you. But the fact is, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. The fact is, that sin should not have power over you. And so he says that you may be a new lump, since that's what you are. That's what you are in Christ. It's kind of like saying, live what you are, not what you used to be. Not like you were in Egypt. Live like you were when God took you out of Egypt. And so, since your conversion, since you are, and by the way, are is kind of a present tense. This is what you always are. Since the day of your conversion, you have been unleavened bread. Again, he's gonna point out, you have sin, but Christ covers it. And when we come to the Lord's table and we think about the blood of Christ, it's not that right now, tonight, that he's going to cover your sin. He's covered your sin. He's forgiven you of your sin. We're coming here to be reminded of that in this memorial that we call the Lord's table. But if we come with sin, then it needs to be confessed. Then it needs to be thrown out. Then it needs to be purged out of our life so that we can go on living as we should live. So, you are unleavened, for indeed, notice, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Now think again. In Egypt, they took that lamb and they sacrificed it. And then the blood was applied so that the death angel did not come into that house. But that Passover lamb became the Passover itself. And you ate that lamb as the first day of unleavened bread. And then for 7 days, you picture in your home that you don't have sin there. And so he says, Christ is our Passover. Not a meal, not some Old Testament ritual that we do, and not, by the way, even the Lord's table. This is just a picture of our Passover. Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God, of course, that takes away the sin of the world. And so from that day on, you have been living the Feast of Unleavened Bread in your life. So he was sacrificed for us. Third thought then in verse 8, and that is we keep this feast by holy living. I've said three things. Verse 6, sin is destructive. Verse 7, the Christian life is then a new life. And now verse 8, we keep the feast by holy living. So notice he says in verse 8, therefore, let us keep the feast. You know, when we read that verse in our Bibles, we can ask ourselves, well, what is that? What feast do we have? Is this what we're doing tonight? No, it's not. Neither do we keep that Old Testament feast. I don't think it has any place in the church. It's a ritual. It's a legalistic thing that the Jews did, and some of them still do it, but it does them no good as far as sin goes. So how about the Lord's Supper? Is that our Passover? No. This is a memorial. This is a picture that we will do of the body, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But rather, of course, the feast is what happened after that meal. The lamb was sacrificed for them, the sin had been purged from the home, and now the feast was 7 days. That is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so how is that to you? What is your feast? It's your life since you got saved. It's your life since the blood of the Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, was applied to your heart. And once that was applied to your heart, then you have been living the Feast of Unleavened Bread called the Christian life. Now, again, we sin. And so part of the advantage of the Lord's table is that as often as we do it in remembrance of what he did for us. So we come again. And we say, my Passover lamb was crucified for me, and I applied his blood to the doorposts of my heart, and therefore he's forgiven me of my sin. Why should I be not living the Feast of Unleavened Bread? Why should I be practicing this sin in my life? And he's saying to the church at Corinth, why do you go on tolerating sin when your Passover has been sacrificed for you? Then notice he will say, not with, and then but with, a negative and then a positive. So not with old leaven. So you get the picture again, that old picture of the lump and the piece of the leaven lump passed on to the new one. Not with old leaven. Don't pass it on from your old life with the leaven of malice and wickedness. Some have noticed that perhaps the word malice means more the nature of things, and the wickedness is the evil works that come out of that nature. So malice, you know, you have that old nature. you have that flesh in you still. Don't let it do things. Don't let it work. Let me read you again from 1 Peter chapter 4, the first three verses, where Peter says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough time enough of our pastime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, abominable idolatries. We've done enough of that. We did that in Egypt. We did that before we were saved. We did that before the blood of Christ was applied to us. Enough of that. Now live without that sin because you have the ability to do that. So not with those old sins anymore, not with malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread, And you see again the analogy carries on. And what is that unleavened bread then for us? Sincerity and truth. Two pretty pure things. Things that would have to be without sin. Ephesians 4, 24 through 27. That you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be angry, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't give place to the devil. And he lists those type of things that we should be doing, those things of sincerity and truth. So, folks, we come to the Lord's table to be reminded that Christ, our Passover, was crucified for us. And the Christian life is basically the feast of unleavened bread. And that's the way we should be living. That lamb and that blood kept us from the death angel. That lamb and his blood that takes away the sin of the world, it cleanses you from all sins. And praise the Lord for that. But we should confess our sins when it comes into our life. We should come back and say, look what the Lord did for me. How can I go on living with leaven in my life rather than unleavened life? So, remember these as we end here. Christ has been slain for you. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you come to the Lord's table. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, He's not your lamb yet. He died for you. His blood was shed for you. But you need to make sure you know the Lord as your Savior. Secondly, you left the old life and started a new life. When you got saved, rather than passing on the leaven from the old lump, you cut it off and you purged it out of your life. And you started a new lump without leaven in it. And just as the Jews did that for 7 days, you do it for the rest of your life. Let us keep the feast then. The feast that we have to keep. Thirdly, if sin comes into your life, purge it out. Confess it. And there's no time like the Lord's table to remind you that you need to do that, that it shouldn't be in your life, and that a little of it can permeate all of your life and destroy you completely. Don't let sin do that in your Christian life either. And then, we are performing then a memorial of that process. This reminds us of it. We don't take that view that this juice is turned into the actual blood of Christ. We don't take that view that this bread can be turned into the body of Christ. Nor do we take the view that somehow spiritually Jesus is in this in some spiritual manner and you get to take that spirituality as you take these elements. No, it's juice. And by the way, we use grape juice because that's unleavened. We use flat crackers because it's unleavened bread. And it pictures, it's a symbol of the fact that Jesus Christ, his body and blood, was sinless, and also that we should be too. So then, know that Christ, as your lamb, has been sacrificed for you, and live an unleavened life as we should keep the feast. So, short verses, simple as we come to the Lord's table to remind us of how Paul is using those Old Testament analogies to teach us even in our New Testament times of what we should do and how we have a Passover lamb and we have a feast to keep as well. All right, I want you to stand with me if you will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll prepare the table for the supper tonight. Father, how we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. The apostle has reminded us of those old rituals all the way back into Egypt and how you, by your faithfulness, brought them out and gave them a new life and gave them a pattern to follow that would later be fulfilled in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we realize that He is our Passover lamb, the lamb that takes away the sin of the world. And we thank you, Father, that that blood being applied to our heart has given us eternal life. And we praise you and thank you for it, and we will throughout eternity. But then, Father, we also know that we do still have sin in our life. And that should not be, because we should be living our feast, our Christian life of unleavened bread. And so, Father, as we see these elements tonight and we're reminded of these truths, may we right now confess these sins before you and find your forgiveness for that and restore our fellowship to you, that we may come to this table in true fellowship and rejoicing for what you've done for us. I pray, Father, that if someone does not know the Lord as Savior, that these words or these truths would sink deep into that heart and they would know Christ as Savior. So bless us as we come to your table. Bless us in everything that we do. May you be honored and glorified by it and accomplish your purpose in our life. Well, thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, and our deacons will come and prepare the table in just a moment.